for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Nelly Furtado's here tonight. A breath of fresh air. I'm a big fan. And she's bubbly.
Hi.
I don't remember you. You're really in a great mood tonight.
Really?
Are you always this way?
Yeah.
Quite often. I don't remember you being this vivacious.
You don't?
I don't remember you weren't a bummer. You were just you were just kind of normal. And I don't mean that in a bad, insulting way. Now,
I'm self-conscious. I'm a mother now. I'm jubilant.
Are you? What about that postpartum
that
depression?
You down. Yeah.
No, but see, but I have the career
they get
to balance
manic.
It
they get
out.
Manic
oh, they get
too.
Manic.
Yeah.
Oh,
they get
okay.
mad. No.
Well, if you're going to bottom out, don't do it during the show. I like the happy Nelly Furtado.
No, I still got to perform, so I got an outlet. I'm not depressed.
Yeah. Now, how much do you love performing? Let me ask you a question. I think most performers would love to perform once every fill in the blank. You know, 2 weeks, but 28 days in a row, it starts to become a grind, or not. You tell me.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes. Those days you get up and you're just tired. Like, you're just tired. But
right.
I don't know. I just finished this short U.S. tour. I played the Avalon last night here in L.A. And which used to be the some other room. They just changed the name.
The Palace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. But I don't know. Lately, I really find the energy in the fans. I have, like, really energetic, crazy-ass electric fans. And
yeah.
I just... You put it out, you get it back. But, of course, yes, some days you're tired and you're like, how am I going to move my legs and jump? Because I'm kind of like a little, you know, bumblebee on stage. I really buzz around and do lots of things. So
I imagine your fans probably a little more, civil than your average fan. A smarter, higher IQ.
Yeah, they're pensive, I would say. They're thoughtful.
Yeah.
The fans. Yeah,
that's
they are.
Good.
Very thoughtful fans. They get passionate and they're into it when they're there, but...
No, there's a difference. Like, you know, doing the man show. Like, hey, man show!
Oh, those fans. Oh,
drunk and dirty!
What?
Hey, Joe, this is the man show, dude!
And they just call it that.
I'm eating your shot.
It was Dr. Drew. Yeah, you can have a-hole fans, too.
Well, yeah, or just, it depends. Sometimes people go crazy, like, for some strange reason, my last tour was the Burn and Spotlight tour, and... girls started fighting during I'm Like a Bird.
Wow.
Like it happened in 3 or 4 cities.
Wow.
Where I guess maybe people have too much to drink and they'd get close to the front or maybe argue about their spot.
Well, it's interesting.
Or they would pee.
When I
pee?
One or A or B.
When it comes in the set, because I'm Like a Bird probably comes toward the end of the night, right?
Yeah.
And by then
they don't want to miss the song.
They've been juiced up. They gotta urinate. No one wants to go anywhere.
Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah. And plus, it's the kind of song you'd play, you know, it's a scrapping song. I mean, it makes you want to scrap. Women fighting, by the way, had some sort of renaissance.
Yeah.
Or not really a renaissance. It maybe didn't exist before.
No, it's back.
It's back. Where was it?
It's back.
All right, quite
it wasn't
different.
In the circles that you traveled with.
Oh, okay. Drew, you saw girls fighting back in the day? Really?
The day, yeah.
Over you?
No.
But you...
No.
But Nelly, you can see why a couple of ladies may want to duke it out over the
Drew man. Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, good looking.
Very smooth.
Nelly's going to be on Jay Leno tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And you did that today, right?
Yeah, today, yeah.
How'd that go?
Great, yeah. This is my fifth time on the show.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, and it's always fun.
Always. Does your crowd... Like, sometimes when people play these shows, their crowds will come out and fill the audience.
Right.
And then sometimes you get that crappy Leno audience who's just a bunch of people vacationing from Idaho. Right. Who are like, who's Poochie? And, you know, they're talking to their relatives back in Boise. Who was on? Nessie Fertitta. She's one of them singer gals.
I think she's Puerto Rican.
I think her name is Melly, Shelly. I think she's Mexican. She needs to go back to her own country and leave her guitar. So you can't get those people.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Dang.
Well, it's what
I don't know. I think there was like Jake Gyllenhaal teenagers or something. No, just kidding. I don't know. There's an actor on it. And a boxer. Tonight.
Who was on?
It'll be fun.
Who was on?
Oscar Jake De La Hoya? Jake Gyllenhaal and the guy that beat...
One of the Klitschko's.
Roy Jones.
Oh.
That guy. Roy Travers? Jones. Travers?
Yeah. I'm going to...
Why do I remember that?
I'm going to come up with his name in one second. Yeah.
And, no, it was great. It's on tonight. Maybe I'll catch it. But, yeah, it was fun. It was good. Right. And when I spilled some water on the ground during soundcheck, and it reminded me of your cup demonstration on your show that you used to have.
Well, it's an interesting that you brought that up, because I gotta tell you, I forget most of the things I do. Although I am impressed with them at the time, I'm never impressed with them enough to remember them. But one time, we were talking, this was a Loveline, the TV show, and I guess it's an episode Nelly caught, and I thought of it just this afternoon, because what happened was, is I got this cup of coffee from like Starbucks or something, and it was spilling. It kept leaking out of the thing, and I was amazed at what a mess it made, just a few drops. And people would call our show all the time. This is MTV's Loveline, but this show too, and they would say, I have orgasmic incontinence, or like I squirt when I have an orgasm. This is women. And you're like, well, how much comes out? And they're like, oh, gallon, half gallon or something. And they're like, a ton. I mean, it's a mess. It takes up the whole bed. And I just remember, this is the only time I was glad we're on TV. I said, look, everybody, see this cup of coffee? It's, you know, it's a half inch from the top. Now watch, I'm going to spill out a quarter inch, and I slopped about a quarter inch out onto the coffee table.
Huge mess.
And that quarter inch made a big mess.
Yeah.
And I thought, if that was on your bed, you'd be humiliated, yet only translating a couple of teaspoons of actual material.
That's right.
And for some reason, while my coffee was spilling today, I was staring at it while sitting in its own mess on the desk, and I thought, yeah, I remember doing that on the show. That was a good one.
You just changed an urban legend right there.
And then Nelly...
TV moment.
Nelly came in and and brought that one up immediately.
It was a true TV moment.
Really, it was very similar to when Gilligan hit Ginger with a coconut to bring her back to...
Yeah.
Herself.
The great magnet, Drew, has been at work.
Working, yeah.
Working overtime lately.
Moments.
Yeah.
We had an experience here the other night that was weird.
I don't know what religion you subscribe to, but we're sort of atheists here. But we are into the great magnet. The great magnet, yes.
The one you strap onto your back, back alignment.
No, this is
someone tried to sell me one of those once.
Back makes you lose weight.
This isn't the one that helps your golf swing. This is the one... I like when Evel Knievel does that one, too. I'm in constant pain. I broke over 1,700 bones over a 40-year career. Now I can golf again.
Dad likes
really?
Evel Knievel.
I just wear this magnet around my wrist.
You got a brass bracelet on, Evel? You're held together with wire and pins. All right, but the point is, what is your religion? You have one?
Sorry, my dad used to mention Evel Knievel all the time.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
the hell he was talking about, but I understand he's a stuntman.
One of the greatest daredevils ever born.
A lot of bike
your
stuff,
dad's
right?
A genius.
Oh, yeah.
Motorbikes, yeah.
Evel Knievel.
He was the 70s.
Yeah, he jumped the motorcycles.
He jumped the Snake River.
Religion. Wow. Grew up Roman Catholic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, as a kid, yep. And that's a church. Portuguese Roman Catholic Church is quite beautiful. There's all these crazy celebrations and processions, and it's gorgeous. There's all these... It's very beyond religion. It's cultural and interesting, but I'm a very spiritual person.
Have you spent time in Portugal?
Lots of time, since
really?
I was a little kid.
You have
family
there?
Oh, tons. Yeah. Cousins.
What part?
Aunts, uncles. São Miguel. Azores Islands. Hmm. Back centuries. I'm Azorean, Portuguese, so...
That's where you get your tenacity.
Yeah, hell yeah, we're islanders.
She's a sea person. That's why she had to go to Victoria Island when
you
she was in Vancouver.
You gotta invent stuff.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what,
it's windy there.
I don't want to put any pressure on you, Nelly, but I do have some literature on the Great Magnet that maybe during the break. Just look it over. No pressure. It's not a hard sell. Drew and I are getting together next Tuesday.
I'm doing some ritual.
Don't put the screws, Jerry. You just look at the literature. Look at the literature. You know, whatever contribution you can spare would be great, but no pressure. Okay. Yeah. And if you take a handful and hand it out to the crowd when you perform, that would be kind
of
cool.
I know, Adam, you think that every one of our listeners listens to each show from beginning to end every night, but why don't you share with them what the other great magic experience was? Was it last night or the night before?
Well... You know, I worry about repeating because here's the problem with the great magnet. You know these experiences.
It's less impressive when you repeat it.
You're telling your friends. You go, I was thinking of my friend Carl, and then the phone rang, and it was Carl. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
It's never happened before.
Wow. Where's Leonard Nimoy when you need him? We need to get documentary film crew in here because this is insane. Yeah, it's like that, so. Whenever you repeat those stories, you lose
their power.
Yeah, about halfway into it, you start to realize people are wandering and they're looking down, and then it's like okay. But all right, I'm gonna say fast because it's bad radio not to talk about something and not actually say it, Drew. We were who are we in here with? Newfound Glory.
Yes,
I'm in here with Newfound Glory. And Newfound Glory, I brought up record covers for some reason, and pictures, and they have a nice new CD. And for some reason, one of them brought up Emerson, Lake & Palmer, an iconic 70s band. Maybe you've never even heard of them. ELP, they used to be called. They're good musicians. Check them out.
Adam and I were sufficiently traumatized by the 70s. That one mere mention of anything in the 70s, our ears perk up immediately.
Right.
I was
wondering why this
why the kid
from Newfound Glory knew about Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Well, it turns out he likes classic rock. Right. But anyway, I said I have a horrible story about the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I was singing one of their karaoke songs, a song called Carnival Number 9. Not Carnival Number 9, Carnival. That's the
creative
twist.
Interesting.
And I told him right when I got to this one point, they changed the words on me because it was dirty lyrics, and they didn't go ahead and put them through the karaoke. And then we went to commercial, and Drew and I went out into the hallway where we hear the classic rock station. We share
a hallway with the classic rock station.
Ah.
And that song, Carnival Number 9, was being pumped through a song we've never heard.
We walked down the hallway. Everyone complained about the music and the songs, and there was this song being played.
So the point is a song we've never brought up or we never talked about on this show.
And never heard being played there.
Never heard in the hall was and that's a great
magnet.
Magnet
at work.
That's a great magnet. And again, just going to drop some literature off. Just look at it, you know.
Magnetics.
Look at it at your leisure, no pressure. Whatever you can contribute would be great. Ian?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And by the way, you know when people want donations and they go real bottom and they go high and they say whatever would be great, but I always get the feeling they'd be pissed. Look, if it's a nickel, if it's $1,000, here's 8 cents. Here's 7 cents. There you go. Anything they'd be kind of pissed?
Yeah.
Like, that was just, whatever you can, all right, here's...
12 cents.
Here's 12 cents. Yeah. Feeling good. As a matter of fact, here's
a
quarter.
In pennies.
I'm feeling better.
Yeah,
feeling
here's a quarter. You have any change? What do you got? You got 6, 8 cents on you? I'm just looking for a little rattle in the pocket. Ian?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
All right, I got a little bit of a problem. I'm also an exquisite man, a man of exquisite passion, and... getting in the way a little recently.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have sex or masturbate, I don't actually feel fulfilled unless I go 4 or 5 times.
Oh my god!
And it's actually usually it's more than that. That's just bare minimum.
When you say more, you mean 8 or 10?
Right.
Then you turn inside out? Is that
in one sitting, yeah. At what point does your liver come out, your urethra?
It hasn't happened yet, but I think I might be going towards that.
And is that's in one session?
Right. That's in about a 3-hour time span.
Oh, well, that's a little... I mean, it might technically be one session, but that's a get up,
That's a day.
Put some fluids back in the body, little pose down in front of the mirror. You want me? You talking to me? You want some of this? And then back in to beat off?
Actually, no, it's not even that. It's basically one after another. There's no more than really about a 1-minute, 2-minute break in between.
Well, now, hold on now, champ. I'm doing the math. So if it's 3 hours...
Get a pen out.
Yeah, I got a pen out, and it's only a minute or so downtime in between. We got ourselves 170 minutes to kill.
Right.
And that's 170 minutes. So, and we're talking about 8 or 10 sessions here. We're talking about 20, 25 minutes even, 18 minutes per jack?
Actually, I'd say it's more like a physics half-life type deal. The first one takes about an hour, and then...
Asymptotic. An hour for the first one, and yet there's multiple?
Really?
What?
Right.
Hour for the first one.
Yeah.
And it gets shorter and shorter?
You can't get that first one off any faster in an hour?
I can, but on a typical daily average, it'd be about 45 minutes to an hour.
You know, you may, are you withholding? I mean, do you kind of back off, right, you know, at the moment?
No, I did when I was younger. I don't know,
because,
I read something
because
online.
Because you can actually cause yourself to produce a lot of fluid. You know what I'm saying? That you, you stimulate for a long period of time, your prostate will start building up some stuff.
Yeah. I never get to that point anymore.
Yeah.
I barely get anything.
Yeah, you release. You get a little
power. Yeah, for me. Yeah, it's like a canary took a cramp on me. Nothing. It's not, sorry I had to hear that. No.
She's disgusted.
All right. But it's a great magnet.
I haven't heard this show in a while.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
Look.
Why don't you
Yeah, why don't you stop it? All right, I know it sounds novel, but why don't you roll that thing back to once a day?
What's the question?
I don't know.
The fact that there was no question makes it sound a little suspect.
Yeah, but why would he?
I don't know. No question, though.
All right, let's take something important.
Yes, please.
Go for a hike.
Yeah. You talking to me? Oh, no, you're talking to...
Take a hike. She's talking to you.
Right. No, nature.
Right.
Nature.
Get into nature.
Cures all.
That's right. That's right. We'll get poison ivy. Jessica?
Yeah.
Because he will get one off on the trail.
Oh, yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Your boyfriend is violent?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. I've been going out with him for, like, 3 years, and then, like, about 6 or 7 months ago, I lost my virginity to him, and, like, he was, like, a sweet person before that. But then after that, then he just became violent, and he'd, like, start hitting me and everything, and I'd defend myself back.
Wow.
And then, like, maybe a month and a half ago, he slept with my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stay away from him, but...
Right. This guy
how old
like,
are you?
Sounds like a keeper.
16.
Do you have a job?
16. Huh?
Do you have a job?
No, not right now.
Yeah. Does he have a job?
No. He used to, but he doesn't anymore.
Are you in school?
Yeah.
How old is this guy?
He's the same age as I am.
Same age. Huh. And you've been together for 3 years, and the guy didn't do anything. And I'm guessing she met him when he was 13, and then puberty started kicking in, testosterone started pumping, and that's probably where he got his aggression.
Well, and then it's funny how having sex unleashed all this. It's very interesting. Why don't you tell your parents about this?
Huh?
Why don't you tell, say, your dad about this? I know where this is going.
I don't. They don't know about anything.
Hey, well, why don't you tell your dad about it so he can take care of this guy's behavior?
Oh, no, because my dad is in Colorado. Like, I'm staying in Colorado with my grandparents, and my dad lives out here. And
shocking.
My friend's down in Arizona.
Shocking.
All right. So what's wrong with your dad and your mom? Hey, look, when you're living with your grandparents, that's a bad sign.
My mom's trying to get her life together.
Is she a drug addict?
Huh?
She an addict?
Yeah.
Yeah. And your dad? He must be also.
What's your dad doing?
He's raising my two brothers.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Oh, great. Now, yeesh.
But I don't know why I can't, like, I don't know why I keep going back to this guy.
Because,
like, I want to stay away from him.
I know, but what is imprinted in your brain, what's left in your procedural memory from the abusive dad and the abandoning mom is attraction to people that are abusive and abandoning to
you. Yeah. And that's why, this is, by the way, why abusive parents really need to be punished the most. It's not really what they're doing to the kid, you know, between age 3 and 8.
It's what gets acted out.
It's what the kid's doing to themselves at 20 through life. And then society, by the way.
Because we all become, we're all mom and dad.
Yeah, we all get the, you know, if it's a guy, they kick the crap out of us. And if it's a girl, she's just working behind the counter over at the Southwest Airline Information Desk. Giving you the stink eye. Abusing
snake
us.
Snake eye, right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, so Jessica, how about a little counseling? Can you do that?
I tried that. Well, kind of, but...
Well, here's the thing. This guy's no good for you.
Yeah.
He raised his hand to you, so that's a deal breaker.
And I suggest that you tell somebody about this.
And
because,
how about... Yeah.
This will stop.
How about telling
a
counselor
at
school?
That's exactly right. It this does not stop on its own.
And by the way, for his sake, he needs you to tell somebody.
Yes. He will harm you eventually.
He could stop in the hospital.
All right.
It will happen, Jessica. It will happen.
Does he go to your school?
I used to go to school with him, but he's in Arizona.
He's in Arizona and you're in Denver?
Yeah, my mom lives in Arizona.
Yeah, and you don't have access to a private plane, do you?
A what?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's no. Here's the point. So what do you care? You're not going to see the guy.
Yeah, just don't see him.
Don't see him.
There you go.
All right. And by the way.
Tell somebody.
Let me tell you the problem with kids today. Unlimited range. Between the emailing and the internet and all this kind of stuff and Southwest with their $35 flights anywhere in the world, everyone's
it's
within
global,
range.
Global neighborhood.
Yeah. See, here's the whole thing. We never had a car that could make it out of the neighborhood. Like,
and it would cost a fortune to make a phone call.
This is true.
Remember that?
Oh, it was crazy.
If you would call from, she's in Denver to Phoenix, it'd be like $5 a minute.
Well, that was our parents, by the way. So not only was it our parents who were, you know, freaked out about money, and, you know, Drew's got super cheap parents and I've got super poor parents, but they're cheap too. But Drew's parents worse because they actually had money and they made Drew feel bad for, you know, wanting things. But the thing is, yeah, you can pick up the phone now and talk. It used to be a crazy thing. Like, if somebody would call, like, once in a blue moon, the relatives from Philadelphia would call.
The West family Coast, would like, gather around.
Yeah. I can say, here, password. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Hey, okay. All right, bye. It's like, yeah. Hey, and it'd be like, it's coming. It's coming to the minute.
Hey,
if it gets to the minute, it'll tip over. It'll go to another
minute.
It'll be
$10. Like, $10 now.
Yeah, it was like it was nutty, novelty, mm-hmm. expensive,
yeah.
And airfare was just something. This is something that oil tycoons did. Yeah. You know, maybe if you want to take a 30-day bus ride back east or something in between a couple hobos, maybe. And the cars, you know,
my
mom had a VW Squareback that was like 14 years old. Like the thing would start overheating
what
as we backed
do?
Out
yeah.
the driveway. What do you think you're driving up north? And you're not going anywhere.
How do you cross the desert? Impossible. It would be the thing. I can get across the desert.
No,
it'll
no.
overheat.
It's
impossible.
It was like settlers going over Donner Pass. We'd have to, cannibalism would set in. We'd have to break down. We'd eat each other.
But the phone was the interesting thing. It would be an event. You get a long distance phone call.
Oh, and then lots of conversations about this. Hey, can I borrow the phone? Local call? Where's it going? Where are you going? Where are you calling? Who are you calling?
Another area code. What's this all about?
Who are you calling? Is this emergency? Local call, right? You don't hear local call anymore either. It's a big deal. Yeah, you're calling over the hill? Oh, my God. What a horror. We should have killed ourselves. Yeah, I stand by that.
These kids can't appreciate the life they lead now.
But here's the point.
All right, Pops.
You could only hang out. You could only fall in love with people that lived in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you would just never have this thing. We talk to people all night long. They're 15, 16 years old. They're having a relationship with someone that's two states away.
I was just thinking about this afternoon, interestingly enough, that the rise in gas prices still has not risen to the point where it makes up for how improved the price of communication is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I put together long-distance phone calls up to the age of about 20,
mm-hmm.
Cell phone fees until the age of 35.
Ooh, yeah, Drew's a doctor. You had to have one.
Yeah, I could pay $370 per gallon for 10 years.
All right. Now we got a super set of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer coming up, too, by the way. We're doing a retro show. Drew and I are just going to complain about the past. Carnival number 9 and brain salad surgery coming your way.
Nelly Furtado. Yes,
right.
Yeah, and then a super set of yes. Nelly Furtado's here. Folklore, name of the CD. She's going to be on Leno tonight. We're going to hear a new song from Nelly. All that after this. I had to wait for Drew to get Nelly to stop doing her test. Drew waits the last second. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. I got this policy where I don't talk if the person's doing the test or anything. That's the only way Drew makes it stop.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Silent treatment.
Yeah, I didn't start that way. It's just, that's the way it had to go. That's the way Drew wanted to play.
I can see your face.
Nelly Furtado here. Your hair's all goofy because the headphones are on. Oh, we call them cans, actually.
I like it that way.
That's nice. Yeah. Motherhood's been good to you.
Thanks.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
A beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl, but no picture.
No. I didn't bring one with me tonight.
True. What about that? Shouldn't she have a picture?
No.
The first year, you're lucky when you sort of able to dress yourself.
So true.
Yeah.
I have pictures, you know.
Yeah. And plus, really, I know everyone, they're all special individuals and everything, but people just look at it, they're being nice because they can't tell the difference from one to the next before a year. You know, then they start taking some shape. The only way they can tell is if they're really ugly, because once in a while, a bad, you know, demon seed bad comes seed, out, yeah. And that's when people are like, oh! And you know they're ugly because they start overcompensating. And they start fishing. Look at the eyes! Look at the eyes!
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Yeah, they start focusing on the eyes too much. That's a bad thing.
Mm.
Later on in life, too. Yeah.
Well, no, they focus on particular parts.
Yeah.
But beautiful hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my
right.
God. Look, oh,
right.
Susie, look at that hair.
Start overcompensating.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. No potato
got
here.
Nice hair.
I'm sure she's going. Hey, we'll never know. We'll never know, will we, Drew?
No, I guess
we'll
not.
Never know.
We'll never see any pictures.
We'll just never
Jazz
know.
Jazz has pictures.
We'll
Hi, Jazz. Sorry,
Jazz.
I'm just saying, doing my little dedication there.
Yeah, no more shout outs, please.
Come on.
Until
just
you
one
can
more.
Produce a picture.
Okay, fine.
All right. As a matter of fact, why don't you draw a picture of.
Oh, my God. I'm not
draw what your daughter. May look like.
Will you talk while she's using the pen?
All right. Oh.
Creative.
She drew a swastika. I find that in poor taste. No, she drew
not the test.
She drew a heart. Oh, she crumbled up Drew's.
Not the test.
No, she drew a heart. That's the beauty. All right. Adelie Furtado here, buddy. Yeah.
I had a swastika on my dress today.
What happened?
The stylist.
Great magnet.
Who's actually Jewish.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, there's just swastika on the dress. She's like, no, there isn't. It was right on the boob. It was funny.
What was
All
it?
All of a sudden, because I'm breastfeeding, it was like that part
Ooh,
was
nice.
A lot bigger on the dress.
I'm
like, suddenly swastika. No, yeah. But it wasn't, thankfully.
Now, you're...
It was very PC.
You're, you know, see, here, Americans, we stop breastfeeding about week number 3. And then we get a...
You tell everyone you breastfed for a year.
We get a Guatemalan woman to come in and just start pushing around and yelling at them.
Oh, my
That's why all
God.
The kids are... Yes, all the kids are traumatized out here. But you, with the more slightly European flair, you must be planning on breastfeeding for a while,
Puerto
right?
Do you speak Portuguese?
Of course, yeah.
Are you going
to... Have you heard that language spoken? It's a very strange sounding language.
No, let's hear something.
Eu canto em português também. Agora estou aqui com vocês, falando no rádio.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
This is Portuguese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
You can't quite identify.
It's like if Mexico went to college.
Mexico went to college.
Yeah. It's nice.
No.
That's nice.
Español es muy lindo también.
Nice. And Spanish and Portuguese, you guys could communicate,
it's
right?
It's very similar. It's very similar.
You know what
you're
talking
about. We can understand Spanish better than, you know.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Okay, so you'll be breastfeeding for, you know, until the kids in junior high, right?
Yeah, rock and roll. No, actually. Because now I'm touring and all of a sudden...
All right.
Your body can only take care of so many things at once.
Right.
But yeah. No, yeah, you know. It's a good thing. No, you know, my mother's generation, nobody breastfed. It wasn't in vogue
oh, really?
Then.
Oh, really?
Now it's in fashion again.
All right.
It's nature's perfect food.
Do they have wet nurses still?
No, but Salvador Dali had a wet nurse. So he drew a picture of her.
Really?
It's okay. Very famous.
Boobs melt.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know. I'm kidding.
Yeah, let me say this. Let me kiss a little Nelly Furtado ass for just one second, which is...
You
speak a second language, and here's how it normally goes, where people speak in our language, and someone goes...
Oh,
they
yeah.
They go, speak a little German for us. And they go, what do you want me to say? And you go, I don't know. Say anything. Well, I don't know. I can't just... You go back and forth for 20 minutes, you went right into it. God bless
also
you.
Also, what I love is...
And listen, Everett, hold on a second. When someone tells you to speak your other goddamn tongue, shout something out, would you? Don't get in a huge debate over it. What do you want?
Speak German?
Well, what do you want me to say? No, he speaks French. But I'll tell you this. Start speaking French now.
Oui, je parle français.
That's right.
Oui. Je parle français.
Now speak some...
Elle aussi, parle français. Très bien, très bien, oui.
There you go. See, that's how it should work. What do you want me to say? Well, I don't know. Say whatever you want. Well, how do... I don't know. I mean, should I say... It just start talking. Watch, one more time. Drew, French. Go!
Comment t'appelles-tu?
Quoi?
Comment t'appelles-tu?
Je m'appelle Drew, ça n'est-ce pas? Oui.
Drew? Wow.
Yeah. All right, wow. That's enough, you two lovebirds. Chris, what did
I wanted to give you the euro. Wow.
All right, let's get to the phones. Please. We got to focus now. Let's go now. Get a hand in now. Let's break
phones,
it down.
Phones,
let's
phones,
go.
Phones,
phone,
phones,
phone, phone.
Let him up.
Lindsay.
Hello?
You're 20?
I am.
What's up?
All right, here's the deal. I'll try to sum this up quickly. My parents were divorced when I was, like, one. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with separate separate sets of parents. They both remarried quickly and stuff, and so it's never been an issue. But my biological father was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and he was bipolar, and so was his mother and everyone before them. They're all crazy. And he was abusive at times and stuff, but the problem is I don't remember a lot of what happened. A lot of my childhood, I don't remember it. Like, I just don't. I can't remember it. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember anything. But lately I've been having dreams where I'll be getting raped, and I don't actually see a face, but everything tells me it's my father. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is just me being crazy, or I don't have any relationship with him at all anymore. And I have a great family now, and everything's been fine for years. But
so you can have stable relationships. Everything is fine now.
Yeah, I really do. I have a great father now, and
With your family that you're with, but can you have relationships with people your own age, and are they stable relationships?
With everyone my age?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like a boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, I do still have issues in that area.
All right, so there you go. That's where the craziness comes out.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you people who wonder if something went on in the past, you just sort of take a look at your current relationships. And not with your friends, and not necessarily with your mom or dad, but
romantic ones, boyfriend, the intimate ones, yeah.
Or girlfriend.
Yeah.
And if that thing's effed up, probably means things were less than perfect growing
up. And you know you were traumatized. You know there was an abusive, bipolar, drug-addicted dad who was God knows doing what. And listen, whether or not this dream you're having is an explicit sort of remembrance is sort of irrelevant. It's the feeling of being sort of exploited and traumatized is what's important here, and that we know happened. So, and it's being expressed in your relationships. Why don't you take care of this?
Well, what do you mean? I don't mean to sound so ignorant, but what do you mean take care of it?
Get some treatment.
Oh, I thought you meant kill yourself.
No, get some treatment.
You were one?
When they got divorced.
So you never saw him again after age one?
No.
I was confused.
Was when he broke into the house and I had it. He tried to kill us and we called the cops, and that was when I was like, I'm done with this.
Just
crap.
That, Lindsay, would
that's
be enough.
That's
10 years.
Yeah.
Adam's father missed a couple of Pop Warner football games.
He's been in therapy for 14 years. I don't call four a couple.
Four Pop Warner football games. 14 years of therapy.
Yeah, couples two, Drew.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
That's four. That's twice. That's double two. That's 100% more than a couple.
Think about your medicine tonight. Your medicine. The red wine. The
bottle's waiting for me.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I feel very...
Don't ever minimize what happened to me, Drew.
All right, I feel like listen, I'm more complaining about this, though. Because, I had a great family. It's not
right.
It was...
That's enough.
Don't make excuses.
What do you
get some therapy?
Yeah. Other than the horrible abusive circumstances,
it wasn't.
All right, get some therapy, would you?
Oh my gosh!
Stop defending your horrible past.
It's true.
It's not your fault, but now you got to do something about it.
Yeah,
that's all right. Here's the whole thing about therapy. It's not like chemotherapy, which is, hey, if you don't have cancer, your hair's going to fall out and you're going to vomit and feel sick. So you wouldn't want someone to have chemotherapy if they didn't have. This is like this is more like an enema, Kuhnhoit, as they say. This is like taking a multiple vitamin. It's like, well, I'm not sick, I feel great. All right, so you got a little extra B vitamin in you.
That's right.
Stigma attached to going to therapy, so
yes.
People don't want to go.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They're afraid of being ostracized by their friends.
That's right.
Because they're not confident.
That's right. Very mean people.
It's a problem with
kind
society.
Of people that would minimize your dad not going.
But that's
to
a problem when you use the word crazy, though. When you label and use the word crazy,
you know, though she used that word.
You're
but,
right.
But
she
I actually
it.
Think people ought to get more comfortable with the word crazy. It should be
a
funny,
positive
it
thing.
It should be a funny, non-threatening kind of word.
Yeah. Warm and fuzzy.
We're all kind of crazy, you know. It's
nutty and cuckoo have made it. No
right.
problem.
So it's more practical to be crazy and go.
Crazy, naughty cuckoo.
Well, we use words in the hospital. We'll use words like dangerous when we really think somebody's a problem.
I like when cops use bad guys.
Yeah,
they do that a lot.
The military does that.
Yeah, military does that too. Kind of makes it okay to kill them. You know what I mean?
Bad guys.
Yeah. If they just said if they started substituting bad guys with fellow humans, it would never work. We've
oppressed humans.
We found some fellow humans and went ahead and took their heads off. It wouldn't be good. But bad guys. Yeah. No problem there. All right. Drew, now what happened? We're going to hear a Nelly Furtado song.
Let's do it.
I don't know. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, you have time.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. Anderson's pissed, but that's all right. We're going to get that song and then we go right to break, all right?
And it's all a good right.
Folklore, name of the new CD, and the song we're going to hear off it is called Explode.
Penso, joga, ginga, roda. Clear space burnt as a memory of bedroom fun. The lighter in some hair space. Smoking in the girls' room. My worst and Shelly's right behind the mirror.
Furtado, everybody. Folklore, name of the CD. What a voice. What a woman. What a mother.
Thank
what
you.
A Canadian. The great magnet is going to welcome...
Viva Canada.
Welcome Nelly into his heart, into his realm.
I'm feeling the magnet tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you can. Oh, yeah. And he's a great magnet. He's everywhere. Yeah, you know what I mean? And nowhere. And nowhere.
And in you.
And in you. And on you.
And all of us.
Yeah. In you and on you at the same time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's a field and a feeling. You know what I'm saying? Drew, get the literature from my van.
I will.
No pressure.
I'll get out the magnetometer, too.
Get the magnetometer. Yeah. And just take a look at it and hand out some of the people in the audience. And any contribution you could make.
$7, $7,000.
$7, doesn't matter. It's all the same. We'll take, except we'll be really pissed if it's under like $1,500. We'll take a quick break. Nelly Furtado here tonight. We'll be right back after this.
That's right. It's Love Line.
Yeah. Now see, Drew's argument to that kind of stuff is he just don't know what's going on.
Thank you, Anderson. I appreciate that.
All right. What happens there is Drew has guests fill out tests, and I don't talk if they're filling out the test during the commercial. But it's not like it ever comes up. Nelly Furtado is here tonight. And
yep.
Drew, what about that part of you that doesn't pipe up when this is going? You don't notice it?
When
the person's taking the test?
Yeah, I'm focused on the next call and stuff. I wasn't thinking about her taking the test.
All right, we gotta get you a little bell or something.
Anderson's my new bell.
And
I appreciate it very much.
189 of them.
But by the time Anderson pipes up, it's only because there's been dead air for a few seconds. All right. Well, there's nothing we can do.
Stop, Anderson.
Nelly Furtado here tonight. Folklore, name of the CD. Let's get to the phones.
Hello.
Andrea?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my question is about different lubes. A lot of lubes I use tend to sting really bad. There's only been one that I've used that hasn't.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering, maybe what the ingredients are that I need to steer clear from, like when I'm buying other lubes.
What was the one that didn't sting?
Miracle Whip.
it was like a Hustler sample or something that my boyfriend picked up when he picked up a toy or something.
Nice. Probably got a strip club, by the way, but go ahead.
Your vagina becomes irritated?
I'm sorry?
You get vaginal irritation?
Vaginal, yes, but mostly we use lubes for anal. And so when we do use
old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Maybe... Maybe you just irritate that area with the act you're doing, and maybe just by coincidence one time it didn't irritate things.
Well, we've used the Hustler one a few times. It was just a small bottle, though. But like Astro Glide and Id, they both sting if I use it vaginally as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought those were supposed to be like... I thought Astro Glide was supposed to be all water-based and, like, the most sensitive.
These are fairly inert. There must be maybe some fragrance in them or something you're reacting to.
I don't think so. Why don't you... Okay.
Doesn't make sense.
Here's what Drew's saying. Drew's saying maybe there was a little trauma down there and it wasn't the lube. It was just...
The action.
The action.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you threw a rod in the engine and you're blaming the oil.
Right.
It wasn't the oil's fault.
But she's saying that each time they tried this one, it was... Better than the others.
Well, feel free, by the way, and let me explain the theory behind samples. You're supposed to use them and then like them, whether it be breakfast cereal, car wax, or anal lube. And we all love it when we get one of those in the Sunday paper, the anal lube.
No, of course.
Sampler.
Yeah. Or the mailbox.
Sure. Collect and trade. Mm-hmm. Use the sample. They don't give you enough to last your whole lifetime.
No.
See, if they give you a 55-gallon drum sample, well, you'd never be back.
Right.
Now, you use the sample, you like the sample.
You buy the sample.
You buy more than the sample.
Oh, yeah, you buy the product.
That's right. You actually go out and get the product. Mm-hmm. Andrea?
Yes.
So why don't you hop online and buy that Hustler ass lube?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that it's hard to find, but then you just said online and...
How hard could it be?
All right. And by the way, somebody who's engaging in copious amounts of cornholing, I would imagine, has a strong constitution and a can-do type attitude.
Yes, can do.
Can did. Yeah. Am I right? I mean, that's kind of an individual. That's right. That's what we call chutzpah. I'm not sure what you call it over there in Canada or Spain.
Chutzpah.
Or Portugal. Yeah.
Oh,
what we got over here is a little something called chutzpah.
Moxie, really what this one has.
We pick ourselves up by our own thong back straps and get to work, and that's why this country's number one. All right.
Quick Mark question, because Nelly's got to go.
Got a question for Nelly before she leaves. Mark?
I'm here.
You got a question for Nelly?
Yes, I do. Nelly, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? Mark?
Yeah, that's me. First of all, I got to say, you are fine. Two kinds of fine.
Yeah.
Two kinds?
Yeah. Maybe three.
Wow.
Three, possibly Thanks. Four. But anyway, I want to know how you feel about being accepted by the hip-hop community like you did, and who would you like to work with in hip-hop?
Oh, that's a nice question. I don't know. For me, I just started when I was about 12 years old. I got into hip-hop and R&B, and I lived in Victoria, you know.
yeah.
a suburban sort of small town, mostly white town. And but we picked up some Seattle radio stations with some urban stuff. And also in my city, I had hip-hop MCs. It's my generation, you know. Suburban hip-hop's a reality. So that's what I flocked towards. And I wrote rhymes for a while when I was 14. And that's why nowadays, as an adult, when I bounce into the studio with these different hip-hop groups, I feel right at home. And it's just a groove. It's just a vibe. It's all just another influence for me.
Who would you like to work with that you haven't worked with?
I heard you rapped, Adam.
Yeah.
I
do a little Russian rap.
Oh, yeah. No,
Mark's heard
me
rap. Mark's heard it.
Oh, beaches yeah. ain't
but
hoes and treats.
What with the Neptunes still?
The Neptunes?
We've been meaning to work for a while. We'll work together. And then rap. Well, actually, Missy and I, maybe production would be fun. Do something together from scratch.
You're talking about Missy Elliott?
Yeah. Working with the Roots was fun. The Roots, J5, I'm here, L.A., but right. yeah, anybody really. I'm the type of person where you put me in a room with anybody and I try to make it work. I'm an idealist, so.
All right. Well, that's a good.
Bring
it on. That's a Drew getting down. Go on, buddy. Go, go ahead.
My kids.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Now, hold on.
Thank you, Mark.
We got to take a break, and Nelly's only.
Drew in the hizzy.
All right. Hold on. We got to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Nelly's only in for the first hour, so we have to say.
Your show's 2 hours.
Adios to the big Nelson.
Adios. Bye. Adios.
Nelly Furtado, everyone. Folklore, name of the CD. Always a delight. Come in sooner than 3 years, please.
I will.
All right.
Before another three. Thanks, right. guys.
We'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nelly Furtado is gone. And if history is any indication, we'll see her in a
2007.
About 40 months.
Yeah.
So, and I'm staying here.
Oh, you'll be here.
She's a delight, that Nelly.
Really nice.
And a good performer. And we wish her well.
Good people.
Lore.
Dear friend.
Dear friend. Name of her CD. We'll get back to the phones and speak to Brandon, who's 17. Brandon?
Yeah?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Yeah.
My girlfriend, dude, she just got this job. Stripping,
bro,
and I really don't like that, you know. I don't, we have a kid together, and it just makes me uncomfortable, like, to lay next to her and stuff.
What's your kid's name?
There he goes. Good night.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
What's your kid's name?
Oh, her name's Autumn.
What's the name of the club your girl works at?
Yeah, it's a girl.
What's the name of the club? What's the name of the club your girlfriend works at?
Oh, Tommy's.
Tommy's what?
Tommy's 2. It's in Portland.
2. Hold on a second. All right, this is for real.
You think so?
Yeah, because who
can... Either that he's excellent. He's an excellent BSer.
No. Everyone who calls the show is an idiot.
All right. Okay, we'll go with it.
And by the way, Tommy's the 2 part, that just means there's number 1 and possibly number 3.
But Tommy's... It's how Tommy's hamburgers are numbered around town here.
Yeah, ask him another name of another strip joint in Portland.
Why?
Because I know the strip joints in Portland.
How about
never
I
heard of Tommy's, too.
How about I try to find the name of a therapist in Culver City?
I know them, too.
Wouldn't that be better? I'm just saying, more practical. All right, Brandon.
What's up?
So what's
is it a topless place or bottomless?
It's topless, I think. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I've never been there.
Right, but these are the kind of questions you ask when your lady needs to go strip. And how old's your daughter?
She's 4 months.
All right. And are you out of school?
Yeah, I've been out of school since I was like
14. How does someone strip 4 months after a delivery?
Hey, that's a testament to her personal trainer.
That's the thing, the one in Portland. And I went to, the chick had like a C-section scar that was still had like stitches in it.
Huh?
Good times.
Hey, listen. That's a world class athlete there. That's take the needle and get out onto the field. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
You're getting paid a lot of money. These people are here to see you. Sure, it's late in the season. You have some, you know, you're a little banged up. You get out there and perform. That's what we call a gamer, Drew.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Harold
Businessman's Lunch. Tammy, stage five, stage five. Fanny pack. Ponytail. Beer gut. Picture in the guy?
Huh?
Yeah, got him.
And it's always that guy, too. He's fat, but he carves himself in a chin via the beard.
Yeah.
With the ponytail.
Yeah.
He's got that look like... It's like... No,
well, it is the guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah. No one's going to notice you have a 20-gallon bucket head just as long as you got that three-blade razor and you're carving, you're painting a chin and jawline in on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He calls it husky. We call it fat. Brandon?
I call it obese.
Yeah. In any language, it means love. So, this seems... Okay. Your life's a mess. Yes, yes. You got hooked up with the crazy broad.
Why aren't you going to school? I didn't catch that part.
Oh, I haven't been to school in years. I've been living on the streets. My mom's in jail, dude.
All right, bro. Are you working now?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a job. I got an interview at McDonald's today. Yeah.
Oh. Do they interview there, or don't you just drop off something where you put your... You sign your name and you put an X.
Interview there, man. It was a bunch of bullshit. Questions.
Okay. All right. Now, by the way, here's all I'm saying. I want to add an addition on top of my garage. I got to head down to the LA City Council and blow every MFer in there so they can tell me no. It's going to cost $5,000, and then you can't do it. Street people get to spit out kids
and strip.
And mom's
Free
stripper. Daddy's.
How dare you?
Yeah, I'm just saying, this kid's going to be a liability.
Yep, it's a daughter.
Well, oh, good. She can strip, too.
Yeah, stay in the
fantastic
family business.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for porn.
All right, Brandon, but here's the deal. You obviously are uncomfortable with this with good reason, and you're in a relationship with somebody that you may not
it's
be
chaotic.
Able to.
Yeah, chaotic. It's a mess. Yeah, give the kid up for adoption, please. 4 months. They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Just give the kid up. And by the way, I know we have child protective services and things like this, but I just mean there's certain areas you couldn't own a goat. I can't have a pot plant. What? No laws? We got laws. I mean, people are always like, the thing about this country is we can't... You can't get on a motorcycle without putting a helmet on. Can't get in a car without putting the seatbelt on. If you try to tote the kid in your car and they're not in a child-proof seat, there's no smoking. There's no smoking in the restaurant. No smoking at the beach out here, by the way. Don't worry about laws. We got plenty of laws. Plenty of laws. Everyone acts like we're living in the Old West and, it's a slippery slope. Sure, we got no laws, but hey, man, you're free to do what you want. I mean, smoke your cigarette. I can have my pot plant. You can drive around your motorcycle. No.
The laws
are can't
way,
do anything.
Way more involved in our life than almost any country on earth. Communist countries are the only ones that really get more involved in your life.
Yeah, listen, you don't think we got laws? We got goddamn robotic cameras at the intersection sending you tickets in the mail. Believe me, we got laws. How about a little something that says the 17-year-old homeless kid who's going to trade his kid for a hit of crack and a packet of mayonnaise can't bring the kid home from the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep them here until they can prove, show us a couple of pay stubs from a job that's good for more than $19,000 a year, and we're going to need a note from your counselor, Sweet Pea.
Yeah,
you with the unicorn tattoo on your right cheek.
Yeah
we're going to need something, because you're just going to F this kid up royally.
Yeah.
Or endanger the kid.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you don't have to suffocate a kid in order to screw them up or endanger them. Mm-hmm. Just them hanging around seeing enough of... by the way, just a 17-year-old raising a kid's enough. Yeah? Okay. Former homeless kid? All right.
Not former. They're both, basically, still.
Well, I don't know where they're living now. But the point is give the kid up for adoption. Give the kid a shot. And law-wise, well, go ahead and make that one.
And your girlfriend obviously lived a life of chaos, and no doubt her life is no doubt a trauma survivor. And this is going to be quite a bit to put up with, to handle up.
Yeah.
A 17-year-old that's still trying to get his first job.
Yes. Yeah. No smoking at the beach.
Mm.
Yeah, because, Drew.
Free country.
Close your eyes and imagine a country where someone lit up a butt in 70 million cubic tons of sand.
I'm disgusted just thinking about it.
Think about it.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Now make me think about such pornographic nonsense.
Yeah. Think about those guys on the beaches of Normandy during D-Day.
Yeah.
Every one of them with a cigarette in their mouth.
They'd get tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be taken. Yeah, because those guys, horrible.
They killed all their buddies, the ones who were breathing that deadly smoke around them.
Yeah, secondhand smoke. That's what killed everyone in World War II. Yeah, just picture all those guys just dug in on the beach over there around D-Day, lighting a butt up. Have to put an end to that. Yeah, those aren't the kind of guys we went home. Well, they weren't welcome home, I'll tell you that right now. We don't need those individuals. Yeah. Eric?
Yes, sir.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
My girlfriend leaves, when we have sex, she leaves these huge puddles. Now, is there a medical deal here? Do we need to get something checked out?
No.
Mm-hmm. Could be urine.
Could be urine.
What do you think it is?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any medical background, so I really don't know.
I know, but a dog could figure it out.
I mean, is it, cum?
Could be.
Or it could be urine.
Could be urine. What do you think?
I don't know.
Right. Well, like a man who doesn't sweat the details. I mean, it could be. It's one or the other.
Yes, one or the other. It's ejaculate or urine.
I think he's hoping it's ejaculate.
I think it is.
You think it is?
I'm hoping for him.
Yeah,
more likely to be that.
When you think it's ejaculation, it's like, wow, I really accomplished something.
Yeah.
And then you find out it's urine, and it's kind of like,
oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like if you found out you knocked out a guy in the ring or something, then found out later he had a brain tumor, yeah. Be like, oh, I guess it wasn't me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Feel a little guilty.
Feel a little guilty, too. Yeah, well, assume it's ejaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew, I don't know. Are you sitting down, by the way?
Yeah.
I was watching news before I came out here.
Yeah. That's making me, I'm a fall over about that.
You sitting down?
Yeah.
Trouble in the Middle East.
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm. Israel. The trouble with Palestinians.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, any day now be solved.
It's Thursday. Yeah. So I'm
done by the weekend.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Because it's not the people. It's going to blow right by. No trouble. They've been working out. It's a couple of days now.
I mean,
they're due. Did you figure they're due?
Yeah. It's only been it's only had problems for
40 years or 4,000 years or 400,000 years. It depends what era you want to go to. But any day now. They probably get some piece of paper they're going to sign. They're on it. That is it. They can't put. No. They can't judge. That the important. True. You cannot judge. That's the important thing. And I'm sure those kids are going to have their problems worked out in just a matter of hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably done by now, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The trouble in the Middle East, but no big deal. Sorry, Drew. David?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
You broke up with your 36-year-old girlfriend?
Yes.
And you had kids with her?
No, I didn't. She had kids from her previous marriage.
Mm-hmm. All right. And why'd you break up with her?
It was a lot of things. Like, she had, kids from a previous relationship.
Hold on a second. Let me get this straight. Are you saying there were kids from a previous relationship?
Yes.
All right, because that's news, just like trouble in the Middle East, Drew. But by the way, let me just say this. Do we need to run the Trouble in the Middle East story? Or how about we'll just assume it's a hellish pit of insane violence, and then you let us know when it stops. That should be the story. Until otherwise, it's like water in the ocean. When it dries up, ring my phone. Until then, I'm going to assume it's there. Yeah? Let us tell you what. When there's not trouble in the Middle East, that's when you guys need to fire up the cameras. And when you got nothing to show. Then I know. Because you telling us there's trouble, completely unnecessary. Drew, close your eyes. Picture the Middle East.
Okay.
You see trouble?
No. Wait a minute. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. So someone should tell you when it stops, right?
Yeah.
Not until then, we'll assume it's going on. All right. David?
Yeah.
All right. So now, I have this eerie premonition that your ex-girlfriend had children from a previous relationship.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And so now you've broken up with her.
After, it was going to be about 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's the question?
She always brought up the subject that it could actually work out, And I always thought there was just no way.
How did you hook this? How did you hook up with this woman?
We met at.
I got a better question. How'd this call make it through the screeners? Drew's angry. Oh, I don't want to sound like a prick, but I had a girlfriend for 3 years and we broke up. And she always thought it could work out. Well, does he want to get back together with her? David, you want to get back with her?
My question is...
David, do you want to get back with her?
Who cares?
I know it's funny, but I still want to know. Do you want to get back with her?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Well, she wants to make it work out too, right?
Yes.
All right.
But it's just situations that happen, they're just out of control, out of my hands. You know, like, she has daughters that are closer to my age, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just feel weird every time I see them with their boyfriends. And
do you want this to work out or don't you?
Huh?
Do you want this to work out, yes or no?
All right, listen, David, I'm going to answer for you.
All right.
Here's the thing. This is what you call an advanced project, and you're in relationship 101.
Okay.
And you're in over your head. Not a bad thing. You're 23. This is a lot to be working out when you're 23.
Yeah.
You need yourself a nice 19-year-old junior college student who wants to do nothing but party, smoke a little reefer, give you a little oral, down a few wine coolers, and go take in a movie. You got a
that
whole
yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you're in with the kids and the fighting and the ex-husband and the baggage and the stretch marks
and the girl's boyfriends
and the girl's boyfriends and God knows what you want to do to those daughters too. Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening. You guys are amazing, man.
Yeah, well,
it's like a huge imagination to figure this out.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You broke up. That's the hard part. It's like if you're a drug addict, and Drew, don't correct me because I'm on a roll here, so just quiet down. You're a drug addict. You've gone through the withdrawal.
Yeah.
You checked yourself in. You've kicked it. You're off it. That's enough.
Let's keep going.
Now, don't pick it back up. Don't step it back. Come on. Break it down, buddy. Let's go, David. Hey, let me tell you something, gentlemen. You said term loosely. Gentlemen, that helmet, not a chair. Not a chair. David, you're a 23-year-old guy. You got a lot on the ball.
All right.
I bet you even got that very trendy, greasy bang look that all the ladies like. Yes?
Yeah, somewhat.
Short cropped around the side with the super greasy bang look. It's a hot look. You see all the big celebrities are there. All the big celebrities. George Clooney wears a greasy bang look.
Oh, yeah.
They all wear it. All the heartthrobs. Brad Pitt, you've seen him with that greasy bang look.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, and the weird choker. Yeah, so here's the thing. Go find yourself a nice 20-year-old chick and enjoy.
There you go.
And don't get her pregnant. Yeah, the greasy bang looks a great,
everything
great
will
look
shave
for the
except
fellas.
For the weird. Well,
yeah, start looking like a cockatiel. That's that great look. The super shaved on the side. That's that weird sort of half a gangbanger thing. I think that's a Los Angeles thing. It's a Latino thing. The super shaved on the side and then the weird cockatiel, like weird half curl bouffanti thing on the front. Not sure what that's about. Not sure how bad haircuts come into vogue when you don't turn on Entertainment Tonight and see anybody with these haircuts. Like, right. See, that's... look, here's all I'm saying. Back in the day, remember Jennifer Aniston, first couple seasons of Friends?
Yeah.
She would have a haircut.
The girls would watch
the show and go, that haircut. Now, they look like an idiot because that's not the part of Jennifer we're interested in. But the point is they had her hair.
Right.
Fine, so be it. Because it looked good on her.
And they do it for themselves.
They did it for themselves.
And for other women.
But here's the point. Have you ever turned on the TV and seen that bad, greasy bang look that all the guys in the Midwest have?
No.
Whenever they do those, whenever they do those stories like the football camp, the high school football camp where the hazing went bad, and they're sitting there with the family and they're like, we never heard of something called teabagging until Johnny came home and told us there was something called Dirty Sanchez and a salad being tossed and a spelunking and the guy's sitting there and it's always that same big melon-headed kid with the greasy forehead, the greasy bang look. And I always think, who's got that look? You turn on, what's your favorite? You turn on the OC last week. Did you see the greasy bang look? You watch the movies, you see Brad Pitt with the greasy bang look.
But who's got the 4,000 Pierces? You know what I mean? Who's got hardware hanging all over themselves?
Yeah, but at least they're making a statement there.
This is the same
thing. Greasy bang is not the statement. That's, look, I'm 16. I'm trying to get laid. This is the best way I know how.
Ew.
Yeah. No, because these aren't like covered with tats or some gangbangers or anything like that. These are just corn-fed white dudes from the Midwest who are looking to pick up a little tail. Going with the greasy bang look. Whose look is that? And what? Oh, by the way, what lady lets a guy get away with that? Like, listen, ladies, here's your job. Drew, you don't get to leave the house without your wife telling you what tie to wear and what to put on. You're not going to wear that. Go take that off. Go change that.
Sure.
And by the way, we look at that as an act of love.
We rely on that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they measure us. They're our yardstick. Yes. They're Mr. Blackwell, but we don't have to worry about the weird gay aspects of that relationship. You know what I mean?
That's right.
We got our own Mr. Blackwell. By the way, do the ladies need to freak out when we tell them that dress looks a little whatever after years of them telling us, yeah, hey, you dutifully, you run upstairs.
Absolutely.
You come down. You come down in a sport coat and a tie that doesn't quite sync up. Your wife says, that coat's not cutting it. Go get the brown one. You hustle upstairs to get it.
Yep.
A little ashamed.
Yeah, and confused, too. Well, now what do I do?
Wanting to please.
Yeah.
I better
please
listen.
Please tell me. Please tell me what I do.
Yeah, you tell them that red dress, not looking so great. How about you put the blue one on?
How dare you?
That's anger now? Oh, yes. What are you really saying? What do you mean? What are they really saying when they tell you to switch your jacket? Oh, please. All right, anyway. Ladies, the guys, your boyfriends with the greasy bang look, tell them to do something with that.
Don't even tell them. Take the scissors.
Just yeah, in their sleep. Out. Shave their head.
Yeah.
Now, look, if they have some horrible scar on their, you know, forehead or something.
We'll grow the rest of the scalp out, too, then.
Yeah. Engineer Chris, what's with that greasy bang look all those meatheads in the Midwest have? It's crazy. It's the worst goddamn haircut I've ever seen in my life. What are guys into that for?
I know.
And as I said, where's all the teen? You have a bunch of guys in your favorite bands is Good Charlotte. Do they all have the crazy greasy bang look? Newfound Glory is all the bands you listen to. Is it all the greasy bang look? All right. Let's move forward, Drew.
Yeah. Here we go.
Now let's take a break.
Yeah.
But I want everyone to think about the greasy bang look.
No thanks.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Nelly Furtado's left the building. Drew, you better hope your sons don't go for that greasy bang look.
I'm thinking about nothing else.
They may be. You know, they got.
I'm saying my prayers tonight.
The hair's the right color and it's the right texture.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can talk them into that look.
Yeah, you won't be talking to them.
That's a great look.
That's good.
That with the silver ball choker.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a great look. That's fantastic. And by the way, if you want to look like if you want to turn your 10-gallon head into a 15-gallon head, that's how you do it. Get the real tight choker and comb the bangs down and buzz the side.
Yeah,
turn your
squash head into a melon head.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your head goes from jumbo to novelty size. It's great.
It's
great. Looks hot. It's hot look.
That's nice.
Amy.
Hello.
You're 25.
Yes.
What's up?
I can't believe I got through here, guys. I'm kind of nervous.
That's all right.
I'm engaged. My fiancé is totally hot. I love him to death.
All right.
But I'm always pushing him away. I have, like, zero sex drive.
Did you ever have... Yeah, hold on. Did you ever have a sex drive?
Yeah.
When did it stop?
What's that?
When did it stop?
I guess it's just periodic. Maybe just because he wants it all the time. And I'm just, like, maybe once a week, twice a week.
Yeah, this is how women get sometimes when guys... you got to understand something. This is his biology.
Right.
And rather than looking at him sort of objectifying you or pushing himself on you, how about you think of it as something that needs to be taken care of?
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? That you need to you're going to be married to him. This is his rhythm. This is his biology. It's something that you're going to need to sort of address as a part of him, as a real part of him.
Paging Dr. Passion.
Not as something that he's foisting on you, and not that he's objectifying you, not that it has any reflection of how he feels about you. It's just his biology.
Yeah.
It's normal for me to not want to jump all over him all the time.
Yes, that's normal, but
that's
it's
your
not,
biology.
It's not a, yeah, it's your biology. It's not a great sign that you're feeling resentful and rejecting. And you're not even married yet.
Well, yeah. And is there any reason that we need to know about as far as your past goes as to why you're slowed down a little sexually?
Are you a Mormon?
Smoke pot.
Yeah.
All right. And
taking a medication?
No, I'm taking a new birth control. It's the NuvaRing.
Mm-hmm. The NuvoRing. I thought you said it's maneuvering. Like, where's
NuvaRing.
It going?
Yeah, that
yeah.
should be fine.
And how do you get that up there? Yeah?
Just like a tampon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Push it up.
Native with a blowgun?
Yeah.
That's how tampons go, right? All right, and you weren't ever. You love your parents. You love your daddy.
Pretty much. Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. No abuse.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, see, the reason why I'm not harping on that is A, she doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
She sounds happy and whatever. B, once, twice a week. 25-year-old chick sounds about right.
Yeah.
The problem is this spins out because he becomes obsessed with it, becomes sort of a full-time job. He starts pawing. She starts retreating.
Right.
And before you know it, the what would have been twice a week goes down to twice a month.
Right.
And it becomes what you call a vicious cycle.
Right.
Someone needs to talk to him and tell him to sort of...
think about back rubs and flowers.
Right.
Realize that... Although you like her a certain way, that ain't where her head's at. Just the way she needs to sort of address your genuine biological needs, you need to address her emotional needs.
Back rubs and flowers. Yeah. All right. Yeah, work that angle.
Yeah.
Here's the reality. And Drew, tell me what you think of this.
Yeah.
If you can do flowers just because... And if you could do like a back rub or some sort of whip up a bath or something like that just because and not want any sex that night, like not ask for it, not push for it. She'll take the flowers in the tub or the back rub. It'll be like a bribe. She'll feel like a politician is trying to be bribed.
Right. She'll feel resentful of that too.
How dare you try to buy me?
Yeah.
No. If you can do a flower and a back rub or a drawn tub with some salts or candles or whatever the crap they put in there, and not try to get some that night, you're almost guaranteed some the following night, or possibly that night if you don't push for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
You're good for a week after that.
You get a whole week?
Yeah.
Every day?
No, but I mean,
you'll get some
within
that week.
It'll
be a good week. It'll be a good week. Yeah. And that's why I never do that. I never. Even though I know it'll be good week,
that's what she's thinking. She's what do I need to do to get him around for that week?
Nick?
Yes.
You're 23?
I am.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm calling the show tonight. I'm really addicted to OxyContin, and I don't know what to do to.
How much of it do you take?
80 milligrams a day.
80.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Standard? Now, how many pills is that usually?
Maybe four.
Just one. No, it's one.
Are you doing 180?
Yeah.
180.
180 milligram pill.
Like time release?
Yeah, they're all time. That's what OxyContin is—a time release pill.
Yeah.
But 80 sounds like a big. Sounds like a lot of.
It's the biggest dose
they have. Yeah. And that's if you have severe pain and
severe cancer.
Yeah, I think.
Just cancer?
I mean, that's what it's designed for. It's cancer medicine.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Hold on, Nick. For cancer?
Yeah, cancer pain.
Oh, I just thought it was pain.
No, I mean, because it's so addictive and such, long-acting. It's really meant for people that have serious pain that needs, treatment regardless of the consequences.
Oh, I didn't know it was that much different than, like Vicodin or something.
It's not that much, but you can get much higher doses over much longer periods of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the OxyContin was originally made for people that are undergoing cancer treatment.
That's originally where it was thought to be used mostly, just people that have terminal pain that just needs to be controlled no matter what.
Well, you learn. Nick?
And it's a great medicine for that, by the way.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Do you have cancer?
No.
Oh,
damn.
I'm sorry.
So you need to get yourself in a hospital and get detoxed and get in the program.
Well, I've gone like 2 weeks without it, but, for some reason, there's nothing I can do to stop not to just try to get it in my system. I can't hold still. I can do is just think about it.
Yeah, what do you think addiction is, Nick? That's what addiction is. It's an obsession. It's a preoccupation. It's a motivational shift. It's your reward systems are completely whacked chemically, and you need to be treated in a hospital,
what,
in a structured environment.
Yeah, where do you get it?
Streets.
Street.
Yeah.
Right. Well, how about, Nick, I mean, you know, you really sound like you're struggling here, and you're you sound like someone who wants to take care of a problem, so why not? Well, and by the way, what do you think Drew was going to say?
Are you a Mormon?
Yes.
Okay, he's a Mormon.
Well, you know, I've done college and I've taken psychology courses and stuff like that, and I've gone to AA meetings in school, never for myself.
Yeah, Nick.
And,
Nick,
yes.
Give it up. Get treatment. I deal with this disease every day.
Yeah,
you need to be somewhere.
You hooked
taking a couple psychology classes, looking at an AA meeting is not going to help you.
How about a brochure for the Great Magnet? All right, where should he go? What should he do? What's your first step when you open the phone book, go to an AA meeting?
There's a couple ways you can go. You can either consult with a psychiatrist.
NA meeting?
You can go to NA meeting, ask around at the NA meeting where there are good doctors or facilities for treating addiction, and just go.
And
throw yourself on the process.
In general, if you have no money, no resources, no insurance, should you just find the closest AA, NA, CA meeting and go there? And how do you find the closest one of those?
Just call phone book. Just call AA. And AA usually will have directors for other kinds of 12-step meetings.
What percent?
And somebody will come pick you up and take you to a meeting, and then you start talking. Ask people where you can go, what's available to good treatments.
What percentage of, like, Vicodin, Oxycontin, Lortabs, what percentage of these things do you think are illegal?
The people who are addicted to oral pain medication, what percentage of them don't get it from doctors?
I'm just saying, and maybe you have no idea, but if Pfizer makes one of these, or Upjohn, or I don't know who makes these drugs, but let's just say they make 20 million units a year. You think half of that's going into the wrong mouth?
Because
it really does seem like... It seems like, obviously, it's a smaller percentage of people that are taking it without a medical reason, but they take a large percentage. You know, they're taking a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, those.
It's hard to come up with that number, but because a lot of people are addicted by the medical system, by doctors.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, you're treating people who are getting into Vicodin and taking 80 or 100 pills a day.
Yeah.
And you start spreading them out over...
But most of them are getting it from doctors. They're not getting it. You mean, so it's your question, what percentage of the total number of circulating
don't need to be taken?
Don't need to be taken.
Yeah.
10-20%. That would be my guess.
10 seems a little low.
It is a little low. 10-20%.
Because, like I said, you got to look at the one guy who's taking 100 a day as taking up 100 or 50 or whatever people that are taking it. He's taking way more than a share. He doesn't just count as one.
Yeah.
And the businesses that make these products, I mean, I know they say, oh, well, you know, we give class, we give instructions, we do this, we do that, we don't want this, and we don't want that. And I'm not saying they do, but I'm just saying you're making a product, and you're putting out 20-25% more of that product
every
year.
Well, you can ask the same thing about alcohol.
Well, it's assumed that everyone who takes alcohol is at least trying to catch a buzz.
Trying to use it inappropriately.
Hold on a second. Let me do some math. Yep, 23 minutes for I begin that journey. But the point is
you wait till you get home, can't you?
And I know alcohol does the same thing. Whereas they, you know, nice winemakers will make wines with the screw cap that's basically geared towards selling it to the guy on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the, you know, the Night Train or the Thunderbird or whatever the fortified wine is. Yeah, they know what they're doing, and people. Maybe they should be outraged by that. I don't know what the drug companies are supposed to do. It just seems to me that if you manufacture, that this has to be a windfall. If you manufacture, you know, Vicodin, and you end up selling, you know, 40% more product over the course of 5 years, just because everyone and their mother's gotten hold of this stuff and is doing it, that's money in your pocket. I don't know what the downside is. Maybe it gets pulled off the shelves. I don't know how it works. And the same, by the way, with you know, a lot of these boner medications. I mean, those, think about what's going on with those.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Like Viagra.
And then we've got something like Cerazone, which is a fantastic antidepressant. There have been 7 cases of liver problems. Going to take this goddamn medicine off the market now.
Yeah.
So an entire population has to be sent reeling. I am furious about this.
Drew's outrage. Engineer Chris is beside himself. Yeah. He doesn't know what we're talking about. He's listening to the John and Jeff show through his headphones.
Yeah, no doubt. He's not listening to this show.
No.
He's laughing.
Yeah. Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Huh?
Get the thing.
What's happening, baby doll?
Hello? Hi.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a problem.
All right.
I've been in a relationship for 6 months, well, 7 months, going on 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in love with my boyfriend. I love him dearly.
Of course. But, dear.
What's the problem?
But in the beginning of the relationship, I messed up, and I cheated on him.
Mm. How much into the relationship was this?
Like the first month.
I bet a lot of people do
that. Happens a lot.
Yeah, that's not that big a deal.
And as much as you think as we might come down on that, we don't really think it doesn't count.
Because it's people are not really sure the relationship's going to take. There's something left over from the previous. There's sort of an overlap period. There's a safety issue, and am I going to leave this one behind and be alone?
Okay, but I'm not finished. Like, I'm still cheating on him. Oh, like right now.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Well, that's an intimacy problem.
And you're still cheating with the same guy you were cheating with 6 months ago?
It's the same guy.
Now, is this same guy an old boyfriend or just a guy you met?
A guy I met while being with my boyfriend I am with now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't love the guy I'm cheating with.
Wow.
And you don't love your boyfriend either?
No.
Yes, I
much
do.
Think you do.
It's great love.
Yeah.
Here's the well. If there's a third guy, then it'd be time to get married. According to your logic. No, listen. Here's what's going on. You have trouble with intimacy. It's uncomfortable for you.
So somebody you actually do like a lot, you're gonna either sabotage that, or you sort of reserve a part of yourself to be bad.
Yeah, after weird.
You can't show them the bad part of yourself.
You need a second penis buffer
right
between you. And I used to use the penis buffer as a crutch myself.
It's funny because the guy I'm cheating with, he's actually better in bed than my boyfriend.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah. And it's always, and by the way, those guys always, they always show up because it's like your first day on the job. You know, you get to have sex once every few weeks. And that's all, and by the way, you got to be good because that's the relationship.
That's the reason he's there.
Yeah, once that goes south, you know, no reason to sneak around anymore.
Yeah, actually, this is not good.
All right, where's your dad?
My father passed away.
What happened?
He was killed.
Who killed him?
Some guy. I don't know.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Mm. And he was murdered?
Yeah.
That's a drug deal.
Yeah. Something's wrong there. What's up with your dad?
What's up with my dad?
Yeah. What was he into?
Isn't everybody's dad murdered? Adam, what's wrong with you?
No, he was a police officer, actually.
Oh. See, Drew, I'll see you in hell.
Wow.
And he was killed in the line of duty?
Exactly.
Yeesh.
But, I mean...
Yeah.
It has nothing to do. I don't think it has anything to do with my dad. It's just because I've never been the one to cheat. I've always been faithful. This is like the only relationship I've ever cheated.
All right. Look, I'm going to give you two scenarios and only two. This is it's not a multiple choice. It's just an A or a B.
Okay.
All right. Is A, B still multiple choice?
Yes. Yeah.
That is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes
or no.
I'm going to give you two choices.
But then I'll look at yes or no. That's not multiple choice.
No.
Is multiple? Could two just be multiple?
For the purposes of this evening, yes.
Well, I don't want
to avoid further discussion.
I'm saying it's not a multiple. Okay, it's not A, B, or C, or D, or all the above. It's just A and B.
No, shh.
Well, it's like a couple. You know, a couple's two, but you do think of more. If I said, give me a couple M&Ms, you gave me two, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Multiple. This is not multiple. Here's my point. A or B. Either you're just not into this guy. You're right. Just not in love with him the way you say you are.
And by the way, there's a corollary to that, too, which is you're not ready to be involved with someone right now. It may not be him.
Don't make me do a C, Drew.
All right.
That's just A.
All right.
All right, you're not into it.
You say you are. For whatever reason.
But you're not. That's A. B, you are into this guy, and you're too freaked out by it. You can't tolerate it. It's too intimate, so you have to keep that other guy who sort of acts as a third wheel and a buffer between you and your intimacy and the feelings you would have.
Right.
All right. It's either one or two of those.
You're absolutely right. It is. It's B.
It's B.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So now you have to confront those feelings.
The only way that's going to happen.
What?
which is easier said than done.
Sure. Well,
yeah, you can stop. You can stop cheating. You can actually be in this relationship, and if you can't tolerate it, then end it.
Yeah.
But you're losing something you really care about, and that would be a horrible loss.
It's going to be painful, but it's a good opportunity to do that.
I mean, that's how you grow. You get involved with people that are a new sort of frontier of relationship for you, a new kind of relationship, a new quality of the relationship. And
well,
that's how you get better.
I don't want to sound preachy, kiddies, but here's the thing. All your growth opportunities come from a little adversity. And if you go through your life avoiding those situations, then you got nothing.
And really, those situations are with other people in relationships. That's where growth occurs.
Yes. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 189. Forget about that. Going to go spar with Layman Brewster tomorrow.
That is cool.
Yeah. WBO heavyweight champ. It'll be fun because I get to try to beat him up, but he can't hit me. Well, a little bit.
He's got just one.
A little bit.
Think what that's gonna feel like. Oh my god.
I know what it feels like. Yeah. It's not gonna feel good. I don't worry. I got the headgear. Let's talk about that headgear. Everyone thinks that's like some sort of pad. It's really, you know what a headgear's for? It's really for not getting cut.
Oh really?
Doesn't really think about it.
Yeah. You're still taking the blow to your head.
It's pretty much the same blow. It's like Troy Aikman wore a helmet, got knocked out 5 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Better or not.
Yeah.
But one thing that people really don't know about boxing is they put the headgear on so they don't cut themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you'll whack foreheads with a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
You get cut.
Huh?
I mean, it's a little bad, but nah, it's more about the cuts.
What do you mean whack your foreheads? How come that doesn't happen during the fight?
It does happen. It happens a lot. There's a lot of cuts during the fight.
It's from whacking foreheads?
It's from, it's from headbutts.
Really?
Most of the time.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was all just blows.
Once in a while, but it's normally forehead on forehead.
Wow.
Oh, almost exclusively.
How interesting.
Sometimes gloves, but mostly head stuff. Huh. Yeah, they got rules and stuff. If it happens before the fourth round, it goes to, after it goes to the scorecards, and there's accidental and intentional. And
wow.
Whole part.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. It's good times.
Huh.
Rose?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. Basically, I had a question for Dr. Drew regarding STD testing.
Yep.
I'm with my first partner. I just started having sex last year. He has been with a few other people, so we've been using condoms, but we want to stop doing that. So we set up an appointment with him for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And they basically, the testing that they did was just really minimal. They didn't test for HIV, and they only tested for, two or three things, and we were just concerned. It didn't seem like it was enough.
But I've
never been through that, so I don't know.
Meaning you and your boobs, or?
I'm sorry?
When you say we, you mean you.
My boyfriend and I.
Yeah, but he's not that concerned.
He's just going through the motions.
He doesn't think he has AIDS. He just wants to get rid of the condom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's you that's pushing.
You're concerned.
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh, my. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was on air with you guys. I thought I got another screener. Okay, let me try this again.
All right, we heard you the first time. Here's the thing, Rose. I'm sure he doesn't have anything. But here's what I'm more interested in.
Yes.
You lost your virginity at 25?
Yes, before. I did.
25 years of age.
Yes.
And you seem to have some energy about where this guy's been and what he could have. And I'm connecting those two things. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what's up with you.
I'm not really sure what you want to know.
Why are you so anxious? Why are you so nervous?
Well, I'm a little nervous about being on the phone.
No, in general.
Anxious about being sexually active.
I don't think I am. We haven't had any problems with it so far. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable having sex.
By the way, hold on a second. Look, Rose sounds sweet as a rose. She sounds like a delight. But listen, you maintained your virginity until age 25, which is fully double our average Love Line listener and caller in terms of losing their hymen. And, you know, now you got a guy and you went down, you took him to Planned Parenthood. They said, yeah, he's fine. He checks out and everything's good. And it's like, that's not good enough.
Right.
You want more tests.
That's what we're cluing in on. Is that's,
all right. Here's the part I like. I'm curious about the part where you're like, huh? What?
Yeah.
Me? Moi? You got some energy in this department. There's just, it's semi-responsible, but not totally. There's energy here. We're trying to figure out what it is. Rose?
Yes.
So, what's up?
Okay, I was just curious because I have never been in this situation. Basically, all I wanted to know was, I'm wondering if what he received was a typical exam.
Here's the deal. Some people do not want to see things as they are.
I'm sorry? Right.
Rose, you're wearing rose-colored glasses, by the way. you have energy with this. Why do you think you remained a virgin until 25?
I basically just never found anybody that I was comfortable enough with.
That's good.
I had opportunities, but...
No, I know, but you didn't take them because you weren't comfortable.
All right, let's just finish the question. What were the four that they tested him for?
They tested him for syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Mm-hmm. That's three.
I'm sorry?
Syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, and what was the fourth?
Those are the only three, yeah.
So the only thing you missed is HIV. Well, there you go.
HIV. I'm wondering, I'm just concerned. What's the prize that there's no test for hepatitis or HPV or...
There's no test?
They didn't give him, like, they just took a little blood and a little bit of urine, basically. And I was
what do you want, some brain
no
tissue?
I'm sorry? How about
Rose, you're so anxious.
How about a dipping?
So anxious. So that is all the testing they can do.
All right.
If it doesn't mean he doesn't have HPV.
Let him go give him the full battery. But Rose... Something's up with you. You should please look into that, would you?
Dude, I had no idea it wasn't on the air.
All right. We got to take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, that's it, everybody. I want to thank Jenna Lewis is coming in from Survivor. Is that the blonde one or the hot one? Blonde one. Oh. All right, she went down to number four. She's coming in, or three. She's coming in Sunday. I want to thank producer Ann. I want to thank junior, producer Lauren. I want to thank engineer Chris, engineer Brian. Anderson, and of course Brian, the phone screener. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. A little oral, down a few wine coolers, and go take in a movie.
Okay.
You got a
that
hole.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.